I will fight any podcast host at my BMI or worse.
Moving buildings. Flying. New things. The river crossing. Oh no.
Over the sea.
Horses over the sea.
Game of Thrones, Game of Thrones, Game of Thrones game.
Sean Bean dies.
I'm Red Scott.
And I'm Ivan Hernandez.
This is Boar's Gore and Swords Book Club.
The book club has finally caught up to the point of the time stream at which we... Actually, we're still not at the exact point in the time stream at which point everything syncs up.
Right. We're still... This is a week ago.
Yeah. It is a week ago. We don't know what's happened in the week therein.
Right.
A lot of shit could have happened.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Given the current state of the world, just recording something 7 days ahead of time is incredibly dangerous.
Oh, it's very optimistic.
Yeah.
We're very optimistic about the idea that our listeners are still going to have access to basic utilities and services.
There's, in the event that you're hearing our voices, know that I scheduled this release. So just because you're hearing me right now doesn't mean that I have continued to exist.
We are right now possibly not alive. You might be listening to the first posthumous book club episode.
Right. I mean, they're just announcing the CBO just came out and talked about the details of Hell's Trump plan. We might have been executed by a death squad by this point.
Is that what it's going to be? Roving death panels?
I assume so.
Cities?
It's like everything about politics now is opposite world. It's like, we're going to give everybody coverage. They're just going to murder half of us.
See, and that's why the Democrats should have done more to withstand the Purge Amendment.
The Purge Amendment, it's one of those things. You first read it and you're like, I do want half the people to die. But then then you realize which half.
Exactly. We're not the half who has training with guns and access to, you know, large-scale weaponry.
No. We're very soft and slow and out of shape and bad at aim.
I mean, listen, the only thing we do with our hands is hold them, according to podcast lore.
That's all we do.
We are currently holding hands deep in the Yucca Mountain Nuclear Waste Repository.
No, that's not on this podcast.
Oh, I've been there for a while now. The rent is so cheap.
It's very cheap. I mean, because they refuse to put nuclear waste there.
Listen, if more people would just allow nuclear waste to be moved into their cities, then... Obviously, rent prices would fall.
So, we are discussing more books this week.
Mm-hmm. We are...
We're at Feast Dance.
Full-boiled leather.
Yes, full-boiled leather. Do you want to talk a little bit about the Where is Book Club Twitter account?
Oh, Jesus Christ. I don't even fucking know because they never at me because they know better. They fucking know better.
Well, that's just a sign of what big fans they are of the podcast.
Exactly. And, you know, listen... we had to stop doing book club because I got so fucking burnt out on reading these stupid books for so long when I could have been talking about fucking Suicide Squad. It's just like, I need a break from the shit. But listen, Game of Thrones is coming back. We have the air date. So now we know exactly how much time we have to kill before the main thrust of the podcast returns.
So just so you know, the plan is that we will have interleaved.
Mm-hmm.
Book club content and what you should be watching content as is appropriate.
Yes, because if we just did book club, I would fucking die and take Red with me.
And yeah, most of my problem is I have no problem with Ivan's discomfort, but he was starting to check out mentally.
Yeah. Oh no, there were a few times where I was just like, we're reading a book now. what do they have these things on paper?
I do have to say that these two chapters were both. First of all, both characters that I was happy that I hadn't, you know, we didn't like stumble into a like book two Catelyn chapter.
Mm-hmm. Oh no, we got a nice Jaime and Tyrion twofer.
With some reveals?
There were some reveals in this one. There were a few where I was like, wait, that wasn't in the show? That wasn't in the show?
No, it's not. And it's, you know, and we have no idea if it's ever going to be in the show.
Yeah. I'm gonna assume this point it's probably not going to be in the show.
So,
it's been so long and there's so little show left.
If you're not internet people, the official release date of the show was announced, I guess, 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm.
A block of ice? I did not watch this stunt because, listen, I'm a busy man.
Here's what happened. They did a Facebook Live event where they showed... where they said you had to type fire into the comments and then it would eject fire at a block of
Wait,
ice.
Are you fucking with me?
No, that is 100% what happened.
Was it just fire emojis or did you have to type the word fire?
People were very inventive. They just said fire. A lot of people typed the word fire. Mm-hmm. Some people did fire emojis. There were, of course, plenty of nerds typing Dracarys. Dracarys! And I was like, okay, I like it. I'm on board. So they would type that. And of course, it had no connection to the pre-filmed video that they had. I'm 100% certain. But so that was the video. And then, of course, because the entire internet runs on the thirst of Game of Thrones fans, they took down the Facebook feed not once but twice that I was able to detect. So I kept having to like reload it in a new feed. And by the third time I loaded it, it made it to the point where it actually, the ice fell, it cracked, and then we saw July, I believe it's July 16th.
So
2017.
I was going to ask about the year.
Yes.
They could pull bait and switch on us.
Right. It's 2017, July 16th, 2017. Summer has come with winter. It's very confusing.
Oh, and let me tell you, this is going to be a hot summer.
It's going to be a hot summer. It's going to be a very global warming. I do have to say it's going to be very refreshing. I mean, who has anything to do mid-July? That's perfect television watching time.
It's the perfect time to take your mind off of what the current human rights disaster with Somalia starving to death.
Yeah, and I mean, by the time we get to the actual show being released, given the state of the world, I just assume it's just going to be the most guilty thing. They'll be like, "What were you doing last night at 9 p.m. Pacific?" And I will be like, helping the hungry? Like, I don't...
Helping the hungry for Game of Thrones content.
Yes.
Listen, not enough people commend us for all the work we do in satisfying the needs of the Game of Thrones content list.
Oh, man, they're thirsty and we just try to quench. We're professional quenchers.
So, shall we get into it?
We shall get into it. So we are talking A Feast for Crows. This is Jamie, and you know, I'm going to pull up the message that I sent you.
Mm-hmm.
Which says, all right, these are Jaime 2 in A Feast for Crows 17 and Tyrion 5 in A Dance with Dragons. So A Feast for Crow, chapter 17, A Dance with Dragons, chapter 19. If you look in the show notes, I always include a link to the chapter order and also a link to a Tower of the Hand page that lists the exact page numbers for various editions, of which there are, I believe, at the latest counting, 4,000.
There are many editions.
There are many editions. So... that's how you get to the right place. And we start talking to Jamie. So, you all listened to the episode last week, didn't you?
Really wish I had been able to listen to last week's episode.
I honestly haven't had time. I was too busy working on this one. But this is where we are starting this chapter with Jamie,
mm-hmm.
at the point where his father, where just post his father's funeral, after God. His father's funeral.
And this is what, season 5? This is like end of season 4, start of season 5 ass area?
It's our... So Lord Tywin Lannister entered the city on a stallion, his enameled crimson armor polished and gleaming, bright with gems and gold work. He left it in a tall wagon draped with crimson banners, with six silent sisters riding attendants on his bones. Here's the thing. The best part mm-hmm. about reading the book and watching the TV show is... the most hated characters get to die twice.
I think he's one of the most beloved characters, actually. My God, who didn't enjoy the work of Charles Dance?
Well, Charles Dance was amazing, but he wasn't in the book.
Oh, do you make that division?
Of course. Listen, Chuck D was incredible, but this is some douchebag. I mean, we're going to read a Tyrion chapter later, and every time I pick up a Tyrion chapter in the book, I'm like, all right, he's a huge asshole with no redeeming qualities in the book.
Oh, that's the thing. They really did good work in taking the where do the whores go
yeah.
running bit out of there, because right. that just deflates every Tyrion chapter.
Yeah, and they tied some other, like, I'm very confused. I mean, you mentioned this already about... what is and isn't going to be in the show, because the scene that the book chapter ends with
mm-hmm.
of Tyrion is very much in the show, but with different characters.
Yeah,
and so
this
I assume
is...
they've excised those. Anyway, we'll get to that.
Indeed.
We'll get to that.
Tywin really... it's just like life. You come in on a stallion, you leave in a tall wagon.
It's just like my daddy always said. Beware those tall wagons. Mm-hmm. As he trotted up the column, Jamie passed boars, badgers, and beetles, which was one of the ideas to name the show.
We were going to spend the entire episode badgering each other while eating beetles.
Boars, Badgers, and Beatles. I think I should rename the podcast for this episode. That'd be a good name.
We can go back to having actual episode names, episode titles again.
Yes, Boars, Badgers, and Beatles is going to be this one 100%.
Oh, definitely. We get more of George inserting his comic book references where they don't belong.
What?
A Green Arrow. And the beetle, I believe we have has mentioned before as being a blue beetle.
And a red ox, which I have to bring up for, there's exactly one person listening who might remember this, was a very close friend's hacker handle. Red ox.
Wait, yours?
No, not mine. Which was hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very briefly, when I learned a bunch of security stuff, I think I had a handle, but I don't remember what it was. It was not Redox. Redox is somebody else. One person listening to this might enjoy that. And let me tell you, that guy was just as dweeby as you're imagining.
By the way, I will never mention any of my internet handles before I started going by my full name on the internet, because to do so would enable people to find all of the fan fiction I wrote as a child.
Yeah, no, it's not. It's not good.
No. No! That shall stay locked away forever in what I assume is at this point the Wayback Machine, because I believe all the websites that I wrote fan fiction for have since died.
The Wayback Machine, or as anyone over 30 calls it, Job Snitch.
Yo, that is a snitch-ass website.
That is a snitch-ass website. Yo, be cool! Be cool! Do you know how many times I've texted that to the Wayback Machine?
Yeah, I might have said some vaguely racist things in the early OOs.
Be cool. So for example, what kind of fiction were you writing? What kind of fan fiction? Was it between Patton Oswalt and Sarah Silverman? I mean, I know you were heavily involved in those comedy boards. You're the one who wrote it. Well, give me a less disgusting example that you wrote.
I wrote Earthbound King of Fighters crossover fan fiction.
That's disgusting.
I wanted to take two of the least known possible franchises from the worlds of 16-bit Super Nintendo JRPGs and 2D fighting games and mash them together. Just mash those parts together until they got all wet and sloppy.
I don't like any part of that.
I don't think I ever wrote any actual slash fiction. I should have. What a wasted opportunity. What a wasted opportunity to have been horny in my youth.
Go ahead and dig that up and send it to your manager. I have a new project I've been working on. No, pull up 50 Shades of Grey. Just change the names. Nobody needs context for these beauties.
I just have to destroy anyone who ever finds them.
As he trotted up the column, Jamie passed... Oh, I just read that. Nor did his uncle make him more at ease. Lord Commander, Sir Kvan said... When Jamie trotted up beside him at the head of the column, does Her Grace have some last command for me? I dislike Kevin so much more than Tywin.
I really love what Jamie's like, I'm not here for Cersei. He's gotten in that point where like people are speaking to his girlfriend through him and he hates it.
Yeah, well, the thing is, when you watch the television show, since you're not seeing it from that person's point of view, I'm always like, why would Kvan give a shit about any of these guys? But then when I'm reading the book and it's from Jamie's point of view, I'm like, this fucking dick-ass motherfucker. Like, I just hate him. It does a very good job of putting me inside Jamie's reality.
Mm-hmm. It does endear me more than TV Kvan, who I just can't remember shit about.
No. He's just very stodgy and conservative. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's basically just like a Bob Dole. Like, everybody knew...
Oh, is he lobbying for Taiwan, too?
yes! By the way, when you said Taiwan, I thought that was another Lannister that I'd forgotten about.
Taiwan Lannister?
Yeah, there's Tywin, Tyrion, and Taiwan Lannister.
He can never go to China.
No,
they really have to change the names for the Chinese edition of the books.
100%. Maybe that's why they did it. I'm not Cersei. I have a beard and she has breasts. If you're still confused, Nuncle, count our hands. Cersei has two. I like that. Disarm people by going right to the obvious thing by yourself.
The fact that he has been disarmed?
The fact that he has been disanded. Sir, he said, you need to make your peace with Cersei. Are we at war? No one told me. If there is strife, it will not be my doing. Cersei wants to rule. Well and good. The realm is hers. This is... the refrain of assholes everywhere. If we've got a problem, then maybe they should stop being a snarky little bitch.
He is such the right near the tail end of the relationship boyfriend where he's like, fuck this bitch, what does she do for me anyway?
It's like, maybe you want to admit to your culpability in the problems in this relationship? Nuh-uh. This is all her problems. This happens with every girl I date. Why are they all like this?
Yo, she's so crazy. What a crazy bitch.
Kvan, listen. I'm just saying this is the 17th niece that this has happened with.
Oh, they're all crazy bitches, Jamie.
Maybe the problem is with you, Kvan. So his cousin Lancel was riding 10 yards behind them with his hollow eyes and dry white hair. Hot. He looked older than Lord Jast. Jamie could feel his phantom fingers itching at the sight of him. Fucking Lancel and Osmond Kettleblack and Moonboy for all I know.
I like to imagine Jamie remembering Tyrion's whole thing as internal monologue as being like the dental plan Lisa needs braces floating heads around him. Fucking Lancel, Osmond Kettleblack. Fucking Lancel, Osmond Kettleblack.
Here's my prediction. I don't know why, but his phantom fingers itching. I'm going to predict something magical happens with Jamie's fingers. He keeps mentioning and feeling his phantom fingers.
Mm-hmm.
We live in a magical world. There's going to be a talisman. There's going to be something. His hands are going to be able to like float things.
You know, this. I will say that this world is remarkably short on actual magical artifacts.
That's a fair point. Yeah, it's all very like blood magic. It involves spells.
Sometimes you see like, oh, this sword is fucking magic.
Mm-hmm.
And like... that's debatable because the magic swords never actually do anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they
there was fucking Stannis's sword that like, oh, it took on a weird color, but fucking does it light on fire? No.
No. No, it does not.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Wayne Uncle, I believe you were talking about me. Adam Marbrand could deal with these outlaws just as well as you. So this is Jamie talking to Kvan still. Mm-hmm. So could Brax, Bannefort, Plum, any of these other names that are going to come back later, I'm sure. But none would make a good king's hand. Your sister knows my terms. They have not changed. Tell her that. The next time you are in her bedchamber. It's weird seeing Jamie caring about the realm or at least his family and have someone else being the dick.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just still very, I'm never going to be used to that.
Yeah, it's like, oh, he's finally growing up, even though he's like a 32-year-old man at this point.
Yeah. Yeah,
actually, how old is he in this fucking book?
How old is he in this book?
Because the show tends to stick with the actors' ages.
Right. I think they're pretty young.
Mm-hmm.
Compared to their characters on TV. But yeah. It's hard. I'm just never going to be able to replace that.
Yeah. It's like, I don't want to imagine these kids getting murdered or fucked.
No. No. Yeah, they need to be appropriately aged up anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I was wrong about Tyrion. Why not about Cersei? When sons were killing fathers, what was there to stop a niece from ordering an uncle slain? An inconvenient uncle who knows too much. Yeah, frankly, I'd like that. Feels like it'd go the other way. Kvan killing Cersei. Cersei's been on tilt since Joffrey died. It feels like it's just gonna careen down a hill.
Yeah. Oh no, the minute we get to the, and she really seems to be enjoying wine lately. I was like, oh, this is not good.
Yeah, this is, I don't know why people don't ever have someone like, and they started drinking, and you know what? They'd been too uptight. And it turns out that the wine really made them be a better ruler. They were easy to get along with. They were much funnier. You know, they slurred their word occasionally, but just generally everybody believed it was a good thing.
You never hear anybody talking about the upsides of alcoholism.
This is what I'm talking about. George Burns had two martinis just before performing, even when he was 100.
And look, he was God.
Yes, he was great. If Sandor Clegane cut down Ser Kvan, she would not need to bloody her own hands. And he will if they should meet, which is frankly a better strategy for getting rid of somebody. Just tell them where Sandor Clegane is and wait for nature to take its course.
Exactly.
That man is unkillable.
He truly cannot be killed. And let me tell you, his raiding tactics are a lot more problematic in the book.
Well, yeah. Yeah. Jamie called out to Lancel. Cuz, I wanted to congratulate you upon your marriage. I only regret that my duties do not permit me to attend. His grace must be protected. And will be, still. I hate to miss your bedding. It is your first marriage and her second, I understand. I'm sure my lady will be pleased to show you what goes where.
And then he starts doing the finger thing where he makes a hole with one hand and sticks his other finger in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just grinning with his eyes maniacal and his teeth. And Lancel's just like, I don't understand what you're doing. And he's like, oh, I used to do that with your sister.
Oh, and Jamie is just, he's such a fucking, he's almost pulling like PUA shit on him. It's like negging him.
That actually describes a lot of Jamie's entire, or the Lannisters generally, what they do. They're just all about negging.
Exactly. They are making themselves feel better by making you feel worse. Classic PUA shit.
Yeah, and they think it's working, and they're going to write a book on it called The Game, but The Game with Of Thrones just like scratched out. And they won't realize that the most important part was have golden power.
That honestly, I feel like that is the most important pickup strategy.
Yes.
Be rich.
Have gold
Be
and
rich,
power.
Have a large amount of power.
Right. That's
anytime I walk into the club, I keep up a leather satchel of coins and I just jingle it the entire time.
I just want to get rich writing one of those novelty books where it's like every reason to date a man, and then it's just all blank pages. And then I'm going to sell them for like $9 a person.
You get on the Urban Outfitters market?
Yeah.
You going to write one of those books that's just collections of tweets?
Yeah. Oh, no, that's too much work. I want blank pages. I want to write a series of books that, I mean, they have one now. They've had one for a long time. It's like every reason to vote Democrat that's blank on the inside. And in true Republican style, that is the best joke they came up with. And it was written during the Reagan era, and they've been writing it ever since.
Oh, how many editions is that into now? 4 or 5?
I hope to God they're coming out with new editions. How hilarious would that
be? Listen, they have to put a new Democratic president on the cover every time.
The kind of people would make this book would never pay the licensing fees.
Listen, I'm pretty sure at the point you can just like put like, oh, look at this generic black guy with big ears on the cover.
Oh, yeah, nobody would notice the difference?
Exactly.
This is Mitchell. We just found him. He's an Obama impersonator. He's like, no, I'm not.
They're gonna put Obama's evil half-brother on the cover.
He's like, I'm a lawyer. I worked in the floor above the publishing hall. All right, so why would Cersei need the warrior? She has me. Jaime turned his horse about, his white cloak snapping in the wind. The imp was lying. This is internal monologue. Cersei would sooner have Robert's corpse between her legs than a pious fool like Lancel. Tyrion, you evil bastard, you should have lied about someone more likely. Ah, this poor man.
This is a great cut to Lancel eating out Cersei moment.
Yeah. Yeah. Just as David Tell described it, like a boot stuck in mud, only wetter.
That man could certainly describe sexual acts.
He's one in a million. Sir Talad the Tall, still my favorite name. I know we've made the same joke about him forever, but
it was fun to remember how bullshit fantasy these bullshit fantasy names are.
Strongbor struck the shield so hard he cracked it. Kenos of Case finished the destruction. A new shield was hung for Sir Dermot of the Rainwood. Lambert Turnberry only struck a glancing blow, but beardless John Bentley, Humphrey Swift, and Alan Stackspear all scored solid hits. And Red Ronick Connington broke his lance clean. This is a classic name listicle.
I'm going to say, best porn name out of all of them, Alan Stackspear.
Alan Stackspear is a very good porn name.
Exactly. Listen, anything with spear in it, Stack. Ooh, that's always going to be good in any sort of pornographic name.
Worst pornography name? Humphrey Swift.
Oh! Hey, listen, if you're trying to film some cuck porn, that guy's great. Put him in a corner. Yeah. Shove him in a corner while Alan Stackspear does his business.
Cersei was in her solar. Well, you know. Cersei was in her solar in Maegar's Holdfast with Tommen and Lord Meriwether's dark-haired Mirish wife. The three of them were laughing at Grand Maester Pycelle. I refuse to believe in a continuity where Grand Maester Pycelle is capable of making a joke and is charming.
Well, they're actually laughing at something which they consider hilarious, which is denying somebody the little bit of politeness that they offered.
Yeah, I mean, that is very much their style. Oh, look, purred Lady Meriwether. Your brave brother has returned, Your Grace. Most of him.
Oh, she's in her cups.
Oh, yeah, she's in them cups. By which I assume they mean those, like, body protection that baseball players wear.
Of course. This is... of course, Cersei always seemed to have a flagon of wine to hand. She who had once scorned Robert Baratheon for drinking.
That's... Oh, that's the way of it.
Uh-huh. It's like, the second you have your husband killed, it's like, well, I've got to take up his legacy.
Next, he's going to be not letting anybody in while she's cavorting with multiple whores.
Truly, that is his legacy. Somebody has to take up his line of credit at the whorehouse.
Next thing you know, she's sending Lancel for a breastplate stretcher. Lolly's husband made the choice, she writes. This man, Bronn, it would seem that he... So, okay, this is pretty great. They wanted to name... So, Lady Tanda, mm-hmm. who is married to Bronn, wanted to name their child Tywin, and Cersei forbade it. So, in retribution, Bronn named the son Tyrion.
That's Bronn, good shit.
Bronn is the best!
In any continuity, Bronn is the best.
Oh, it's so good. And the thing is, like, he did that... And if he thought about it for 2 seconds, he'd realize that Cersei would fucking destroy him over that, because she is the most petty, vindictive person.
Mm-hmm. And now she's all wind up.
Yep. Jaime had to laugh. There you are, sweet sister. You have been looking everywhere for Tyrion, and all the time he's been hiding in Lawless's womb. A king has no secrets from his Kingsguard. So this is sort of a flashback where they're talking about... towards the end of Aerys?
Yes, Aerys Targaryen,
the Mad King. Relations between Aerys and his queen had been strained during the last years of his reign. Whenever Aerys gave a man to the flames... I'm not going to read this part, but I'm going to explain.
No, we can read the part before that, which is significantly less problematic.
Queen Rhaella would have a visitor in the night. So basically, burning people to death made him horny.
Which, how does it not? It's the ultimate expression of all of your power.
Yeah, it's one of those things where you're just reading, and you sense a tone of judgment or reproach, and you're just like, hey.
Yeah, I mean...
Am I weird?
It's like, every episode, I try to get Red to wear this polyester sweater while I smoke a cigar next to him.
And listen, it's not an unstylish sweater.
It's a very nice sweater.
It's just the look in your eyes that stops me from doing it.
Yes, yes.
Aerys is a nightmare man.
Oh, he's terrible. He's awful. Yeah.
I don't know why I have a much easier time saying burned people alive.
It's because it's the thing. There's nothing misogynistic about burning people alive on their own merits.
No, I mean, by the time this podcast drops, it might be the most American thing.
Listen, America might really need to get used to the idea of just non-judgmental, objective burning people alive.
We are sworn to that, and Jaime makes the, for the time, very progressive argument. Are we not sworn to protect Rhaella as well? And Dari says, we are, who is the other member of the Kingsguard, but not from him.
Oh, and there's that patriarchy shutting them the fuck down.
Yeah. Yeah. So, not the healthiest relationship.
No, it's very bad. Oh, and that... You know what? That's interesting that these are concurrent in the Boiled Leather Order, because it brings up all of the Targaryen shit.
It certainly does.
Yeah. Good job, Shanti Collins.
Mm-hmm. I'm growing very fond of Lady Tyana. She amuses me. So this is Cersei talking about one of her handmaidens. She enjoys Lady Tyana's tale. She enjoys the handmaiden's tale.
Oh, let me tell you, that show is going to be too real.
I'm not that person who, when there's a great version of a great book, mm-hmm. that I'm like, oh, I want to see that adapted and made into a radio play and made into a picture book.
they keep doing the ra- radio play ads for the radio play on all of these true crime podcasts I listen to, and it's like, guys, just there might be too much Handmaid's Tale talk happening.
And especially like a radio play is just a high budget audiobook.
Yeah. That's exactly that. Although, let me tell you, I'm listening to the fucking Dune audiobook where all of the parts are acted out.
Right.
Makes it significantly easier to get through those bullshit-ass great books.
No, I understand that, like, that audio actors are a real thing, and their performances are much better, but mm-hmm. it's just a very high-production audiobook.
Exactly.
You're still forced to imagine the world yourself.
Uh-huh. So, Handmaid's Tale, what was your point?
My point with A Handmaid's Tale was just, like, I see that the TV show is happening, and what it compels me to do is reread the book.
Oh, the book is so good. And you know that...
Right.
I actually don't know whether they're going for a multi-season adaptation, mm-hmm. but I feel like that's one of those fucking shows that you should just be like, you know what, just do 8 episodes and get out of there, because I don't want to live in this world too much.
And here's the thing. This is... I'm sure I've expressed some version of this opinion, but... For it to be the best possible TV show, you have to acknowledge that books and television shows have different strengths as mediums, mm-hmm. and you have to change the source material.
I mean, they already
have. To make it the best possible TV show.
Yvonne Strahovski, who is the attractive blonde Australian lady from Chuck and that arc on Louis where he punched her in the face.
Yes.
She is playing the what was the older lady character. Who opposes Offred.
Mm.
Yeah. So they're already making a lot of changes where it's like, oh, so you're taking this older lady role and giving it to a younger woman. All right, adaptation of The Handmaid's Tale.
Yeah, that's less good.
Yeah.
That's not the kind of changes I was talking about. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, it just the point that... And then when it's... Especially when it's a book like The Handmaid's Tale, which is addressing the patriarchy, like any end is just such a hollowed, important... book, like any change you make is just going to be incredibly scrutinized, and I feel like you're just setting yourself up to fail.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like 8 episodes and then out.
I'm happy that everybody's getting paid from it. I'm happy it's being made.
Look, as somebody who loves making Handmaid's Tale references in all possible opportunities, this is going to be a golden age for me.
Right. I would just say when the episode airs, play it on your television, and you don't need to watch it. Just make sure that the Nielsen, if you have a Nielsen box, make sure people know you're watching it.
It's streaming.
Right. A Nielsen Apple TV. I don't know how it works.
Nobody does.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's how I feel about mm-hmm. The Handmaid's Tale. Our uncle remarked upon your absence. Our uncle's remarks do not concern me. They should. You could make good use of him. Father always relied upon Kavan when... Roose Bolton is our Warden of the North. He will deal with Stannis. Ugh. I don't know about that, Cersei. Boy, do I have some news for you.
Mm-hmm. We found out something interesting about the Queen of Thorns, who you may remember as the great Diana Rigg in the television show.
Mm-hmm.
How
is she not in The Handmaid's Tale?
That's the thing. How do you not have her in any possible role in any production? She's so good.
In every possible role.
She's so good.
In every production. I'd like to see it in an all-white remake of every Madea movie.
That's
no?
The Wayback Machine is going to kill you on that one. Did you know that the Queen of Thorns keeps a chest of coins in her wheelhouse? Old gold from before the conquest. Should any tradesman be so unwise as to name a price in golden coins, she pays them with hands from Highgarden, each half the weight of one of our dragons. This scammy-ass motherfucker. There is nothing I love than a rich person who still feels the need to scam.
This is one of those things that, like, you hear the story and you're like, what genius? And then, like, it turns out to be completely exaggerated. Mm-hmm. Because if you're like, 100 gold coins, and then they're like, here you go, and they're like, fuck you. Fuck you. No, we both know that gold coins mean dragons, not your chintzy-ass little old-world gold coins. Get out of here, old lady.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you try to bite one of those things, it crushes because it's actually a chocolate coin?
Yeah. What is this, Easter? None of that. Here I thought... Is this about pleasing some Mirish whore? Here I thought it was about governing the realm. I govern the realm. Seven, save us all you do. His sister liked to think of herself as Lord Tywin with teats, but she was wrong. Their father had been as relentless and implacable as a glacier, whereas Cersei was all wildfire, especially when thwarted. Have faith in your family. Believe in their dreams. Don't be so judgmental just because hundreds, if not thousands, if not tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people will die as a result of their actions. Be supportive.
I think that you are possibly going low on that number. I feel like it's going to be a few million.
I mean, well, I don't know how many people exist in this reality. We're talking about the whereas, by the way,
as Stephen Adewell put it,
per the interview with me and Stephen Adewell, which is on the Patreon page, patreon.com/boardscoreswords, where we discuss which eras that Game of Thrones takes place in.
Which fictional eras in this fictional universe?
Right. There's certainly going to be millions of people. But in Europe, I'm not sure how many people.
In Europe, in the Game of Thrones universe?
Right. Yeah. More or less.
Fucking nerds.
I don't know.
This is why I hate books.
I swear to God, I want to do a podcast with you where we only review TV shows that are not in Marvel continuity and see how much you hate 100% of them. I don't understand how you only enjoy Legion when there are so many better TV shows than that on.
First of all, Legion is fucking amazing.
It's
Aubrey
stupid.
Plaza as
it's
the
dumb.
Shadow King is
She's
such
wonderful.
An audacious casting and such an effective use of her talents of being terrifying yet also incredibly attractive to me.
I do want to say at some
also
point,
have you fucking seen Moonlight yet?
No, I haven't seen
Motherfucker,
like any of the
movies. You
gotta
see Moonlight.
I know I gotta see
You're
Moonlight.
Always getting on me for not watching important dramatic works.
Yeah,
and
no,
you still haven't seen Moonlight.
You're not even caught up with the young Pope. Don't talk to me.
let me guess what happened. He was young and he likes to fuck.
No, he's very ambivalent about fucking. Listen, Ivan.
Is he the asexual Pope?
We'll see. I'm not gonna spoil anything for anybody. Here's what I want to talk about as I have known that I would love this forever. And so I've just been putting it off, waiting to watch it. And as of 8:27 PM last night,
finally watched Rick and Morty.
I finally started watching Rick and Morty.
How did you not watch Rick and Morty before this?
Because it was an annoyingly, it's one of those shows that you can, if you don't have normal cable, it's surprisingly difficult.
Cartoon Network is hard to fucking wrangle their content that way.
But I finally made the effort.
You downloaded the torrent?
I made the effort. And
Oh, no. I forget. You got off the news group.
And I saw the entire first season of Rick and Morty last night, and it's so, so good.
It's so good. Oh, when do you get into that fucking second season?
I'm so excited about it.
Oh, when do you find out what Wubba Lubba Dub Dub means?
No, it's at the end of the first season.
Is that the end of the first season?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Heartbreak.
I will say it is a very good, very gross show. Mm-hmm. The constant like burping and almost vomiting of Rick is so gross.
It's so gross.
I've never enjoyed a show that much, and at the same time, I was like almost always on the verge of cutting it off because of how gross Rick's every word was.
It honestly sounds like a podcast run by gross dudes who are just eating on the mic constantly and burping.
Yeah, it's gnarly. If you have that thing where like just hearing somebody vomit might make you vomit,
don't watch Rick and Morty.
Don't watch Rick and Morty.
Bad move.
I feel like I'm not selling the show well.
It's a great show.
It's probably one of the best shows on right now.
I
if
mean,
you like
listen.
Comedies, adult animated comedies. Imagine somebody Lauren pointed out to me that the show actually is very similar tonally to Invader Zim if it were made for adults.
Yeah, it's got that sort of antipathy to humanity in existence.
Yes.
Yeah. That Jonah Vasquez, what a talent.
So good.
I'm glad that he just got a ton of money and then has seemed to mostly disappear.
You are a child, Jamie. Red wine is Tyrell's bannerman and nephew to that hideous grandmother of his. I want none of Lord Tyrell's creatures on my council. Tommen's council, you mean? You know what I mean. As someone who has a sister, her condescension drives me insane.
Isn't this just the... except for the fucking, this is a very typical brother-sister relationship.
Except for the fucking, this is a very typical brother and sister relationship. I felt like I needed to have that stated as well. Cersei, listen to yourself. You're seeing dwarves in every shadow and making foes of friends. Uncle K'Vaan is not your enemy. I am not your enemy. Everyone is my enemy. No, that's not what she says, but it's implied.
Oh, I love this. To speed him on his way, She heaved her wine cup at his head. She missed, but Jamie took the hint. And that's how dense men are. You have to throw a wine cup at them for them to get the message.
And he's like, I don't need men are from Mars, women are from Venus to understand this. I'm a very perceptive guy.
When she starts throwing things at you,
yeah.
I think she wants you to leave, bro.
I bid you good day. Evenfall found him sitting alone in the common room of White Sword Tower with a cup of Dornish red and the white book. He was turning pages with the stump of his sword hand. The text says the stump of his sword hand. The first time I read this, I read it as the stump of his sword, and I was like, how great is it that he's like turning pages with his sword while he's reading the Great White Book?
Honestly, if I had a sword, all I would do is do non-sword activities with it.
Yeah.
Be like hammering nails in.
Yeah. Constantly, you'd be at dinner, your mom would be like, don't bring your sword to the table.
How are we going to carve this chicken then?
How am I going to cut this corn off this cup?
Oh, you expect me to butter my bread with some sort of buttering knife?
No. I have one tool, and that's all I need. And so, towards the end of this chapter, him and the Ensor Loris are sort of talking about the history of all the men in this book.
I love this. I have glanced at it. The shields are pretty. I prefer books with more illuminations. A guy after my own heart, he only reads comic books.
Must have been forgotten. Most deserve to be forgotten. The heroes will always be remembered. Of the best. The best and the worst. So one of us is like to live in a song. And a few who were a bit of both, like him. He tapped the page he had been reading. Who? Sir Loris craned his head around to see. 10 black pellets on a scarlet field. I do not know those arms. They belonged to Sir Criston Cole, who served the first Viserys and the second Aegon. Jimmy closed the white book. They called him Kingmaker.
I feel like that's going to come into play later.
Yeah, I had never... Normally the chapter's ends are a little more clear or a little more cliffhangery. This was like... It was like the cliffhanger was a history lesson that we don't have.
I love how Jamie does that thing that nerds do when they're like, I'm going to quiz you on all these superhero characters so I can know whether or not you're the kind of nerd I can respect or not.
Yeah, he's like, are you a fake nerd knight?
Oh, you like the Kingsguard? Name 7 Kingsguard.
And he's like, oh, I, the greatest hits.
I want to hear some B-sides.
Criston Cole... I looked it up in very broad terms, was sort of a behind-the-scenes sort of Thomas Cromwell character who, when the second Aegon's father died, was like, psst, hey, how about you be king? And then he said, okay, and that's how the Dance with Dragons happened. A bunch of people died.
Ah, and you know he's successful because he has an alliterative name.
He does.
You can't be anything but a success if you have an alliterative name. It's just fact.
And next up, we switch to the other Game of Thrones book, A Dance with Dragons.
Red, would you like to go down to the liquor truck?
Oh, let's go to the liquor truck.
Let's go to the liquor truck, buddy. Let me tell you. I don't know how that liquor truck is allowed to operate, but I fucking love it.
It's the fucking best.
It truly is.
I'm just gonna say this right now. I think it's weird that he sells children's ice cream and liquor.
If he combines those two,
yeah.
I swear to God.
But his cosplay as Rick is amazing.
Hey, you want some of this? It's such a gross voice.
It's such a gross voice. Did you know that Rick and Morty are the same voice actor?
Yeah, it's both Justin Roiland, right?
Both Justin Roiland.
By the way, real bad ideas about unions.
Real bad ideas about unions. And then combined, the co-creator is Dan Harmon.
Who created a mess
Community
of a human being.
And has great ideas about comedy and has terrible ideas about being alive.
Oh, truly a real mess of a human being.
Dance with Dragons, Tyrion, the shy maid, moved through the fog like a blind man, groping his way down an unfamiliar hall. And weirdly, that sentence was completely non-sexual.
Daredevil reference?
Possibly. Except
he loves comic books, that George.
I feel like this isn't giving enough credit to blind people, but then Tyrion is an asshole.
Mm-hmm. Book Tyrion is such a piece of shit.
He's a garbage man.
He really is.
I forget whose tweet this was, but it was like, garbage man should be what was it?
I remember what tweet you're talking about. It's a really good tweet.
Yeah. Yeah. It was just the thing that garbage men are like useful for society.
Exactly.
Unlike these people.
It's a very good tweet.
Frightened of a little fog, mocked Tyrion? Though in truth, there was quite a lot of fog. I don't know why I enjoy that line so much.
He's like the first guy coming to San Francisco for the first time. Oh, a lot of fog, right? Oh, shit.
Yeah, there's a, you know what?
Oh, God, they actually named it.
On second thought, there's a lot of fog.
There really is a lot of fog here.
Yeah, if you're unfamiliar, look up Carl with a K, Carl the Fog on Twitter, and be amused. It's very amusing.
Vaguely amused.
I like it a lot. Also because I love Carl the Fog. There is a lot of sunshine out right now, and I cannot be more angry about it.
You are wearing the Caliban and Logan getup.
Yeah, I don't like it. I'm literally wearing, I hate the sun so much.
Listen, the sun hat really brings out the rouge in your cheeks.
I'm wearing just a full ski mask along with the Oakley sunglasses that go over the top of my head, and then I'm under an umbrella.
Let me tell you, I think that cape really ties everything together.
Thank you. Got it from Ryan Cronin of our theme song, The Business Cape.
Oh, I miss that Ryan Cronin.
Ryan Cronin's great. Sean Bean dies.
Sean Bean dies. We never got him on the podcast properly.
We did get him on the podcast.
Did we?
And do you know how I know that?
How?
You'd think everybody's laughing now. Why wouldn't you remember? We've had a lot of people. This is like
I keep forgetting how many podcasts we've done.
I swear to God, this happened not too long ago, like within the last couple months. I was like, hey, man, we've got remote recording set up. We'd love to finally have you on the podcast. And he was like, I was on last year.
We can't possibly remember every podcast episode we've done. How many episodes are we at?
Like I just said, around 245.
Jesus fucking Christ. Are we one of the longest running, still going San Francisco-based podcasts?
Oh, for sure. I don't know. And, you know, obviously we've mixed in other episodes, but we probably have more episodes recorded, unless they started recording again. I haven't been keeping up of Game of Thrones. A podcast of Ice and Fire was had started the earliest, because they started way back before the TV show was a thing.
Ah.
I can't imagine.
Have we beat those motherfuckers yet?
I mean, physically, yes.
Look.
To the death.
I said it on Twitter. I'll say it again now. I will fight any podcast host at my BMI or worse.
But by worse, you mean skinnier?
No, fatter.
Oh, okay.
I will fight any podcast host who is my size or fatter.
Yeah, you realize the way BMI works, it doesn't distinguish between muscle mass and fat mass?
I will fight any podcast host at my BMI or skinnier.
It's probably a safer way to go about it.
It really is.
This is no common fog, Hugo Hill, Isilla insisted. It stinks of sorcery, as you would know if you had a nose to smell it. Okay, fair. Also...
Oh, I forgot he's going by the name Hugo Hill.
Yes, Hugo Hill. All right.
Obvious Goodfellas reference.
Okay. Jaime is missing a hand. In the book, Tyrion, missing a nose. What appendage... Will Cersei be missing?
Oof. If they're going to do all the Lannister kids dirty, I feel like she's going to get a leg chopped off at some point.
Here's the thing. I feel like depending on how you're... I think it's an easy out to say nose, hand, all three of her children. That's one way out. Nose, hand, hair. She gets her head shaved.
Oh,
nose,
she does get her head shaved.
Nose, hand, beheaded is where I'm going.
I feel like this book series has to end with a real satisfying beheading.
It's got to be.
It's got to have that like circuitous. It's all going to go back in a loop. We start the series.
That's a good point.
We start the series with a very traumatic beheading. We have to end the series with a very happy beheading.
Right. No, I 100% agree with that.
And what's more joyful than cutting off a woman's head?
And we've already had the most joyous, wondrous, out-of-nowhere defenestrations that you could possibly imagine.
Oh, listen, some people have gotten thrown out of windows, and it's been a delight.
Question, does it count as a defenestration if you throw yourself out a window? Is that called self-defenestration? Is there a separate term for it?
I like to self-defenestrate all night long, baby.
That just sounds like you're jerking off out a window.
I might be.
The only way not to breathe the fog is not to breathe. Garen's curse is only grayscale, said Tyrion. Maesters and septons alike agreed that children marked by grayscale could never be touched by the rare mortal form of the affliction, nor by its terrible swift cousin, the Grey Plague. So it's kind of like chicken pox.
Yeah. And I feel like this is one of those little info drops that could prove to be very relevant to future plot events.
Certainly.
Yeah. Because the grayscale is still a running plot point with Jorah?
Yes.
Yeah. Jorah's still got that secret grayscale.
Right, which he got like two seasons ago and like barely mentioned this year.
Yeah, exactly. He just occasionally pulls down his wrist bandana.
You have forgotten. The last time we saw him, Danny was like, go and try and cure your grayscale.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you're gonna have to rewatch the last season before this new season comes up. You have forgotten so
Red,
much.
Yes, you'd be you're surprised going to. At yes. how many things I have to and not have to do in this
you're
world.
You're going to 100% have
you
to do
You would be
this.
Incredibly surprised.
It is mandatory.
How many things I don't have to do in
required.
This world. Required. All right, I will.
Okay, good. the dead... Do not so okay. Some say that he himself is Garen, risen from the watery grave. The dead do not rise, insisted Haldun Hefmeister, when in fact they do in this world. And no man lives 1,000 years except for Brandon Rivers, who lives 1,000 years.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I'm gonna say that there is a shrouded lord. He is not some tale.
I really like when Tyrion's like, "Is there a Mr. Shrouded Lord?"
All right, so I like the protocol when you come up with another boat in the fog, mm-hmm. where you just declare your goods and what you are.
Yeah. Hey, I'm not a pirate.
Right. Boat, a voice called across the water. What? Who are you? Shy maid, Yandri shouted back. Kingfisher, up or down? Down. Hides and money, ale and tallow. Up, knives and needles, lace and linen, spice wine. What word from old Volantis? Yandri cried. War! The word came back. Where? Griff shouted. When? When the year turns, came the answer. So, shit's going down in old Volantis?
Yeah, that was crazy, because I thought that old Volantis had been... they keep saying old Volantis, and I keep thinking doom that came to Volantis, and thus everyone there is dead, but that's just where Illyrio and his shit was.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I assume we're going to learn some things in this book.
I should hope so. Oh, fuck, I just realized Rhaegar Targaryen, all of this shit plays into the big conspiracy.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck. Mm-hmm. Which has... That conspiracy has faded to the back of the show's subplot fucking branches.
We're so hard.
I mean,
do we want to wait till we get there, or do we want to talk about that right now?
Fuck, we're almost there, aren't we?
Well, I don't know.
Ah, I love that liquor truck.
There's some things. Let's wait till we get there.
Mm-hmm.
I hate this. I hate this fog. This. I feel like you quoted this exact line in your book that involves San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
I hate this. I hate this fog. I hate this place, and I am less than fond of Griff.
Every time they've mentioned Griff, I keep thinking Telltale Games.
The
Griff.
Telltale Games.
There's Telltale Games. Griff.
Now here's the thing. If you've played the Telltale games, there's no way you can't think of Griff Forrester.
Because he's such a fucking piece of shit.
You can't help but think of him. Is he eventually, though?
I mean, listen, yes. I fucking murdered him. So,
but the thing
By
is...
By the way, have we heard anything about the second season of the Telltale game?
Yeah, it's happening. Okay. I don't know what the release date is. Probably 6 months after this fucking Game of Thrones. Mm-hmm. Who knows?
Fair.
But in... It would be surprising if in the world of Game of Thrones that a character's name did not repeat, given how many Brendans and Brandons and Brands and whatever there are.
I feel like character names repeat within the books too often.
Oh, a ton.
Yeah.
I mean, how many Aemons and Aegons and like...
I wrote a book.
Yeah.
I ended up having three separate characters with the same name.
All named Sheila? Were they all your girlfriend?
No, I don't go that obvious.
Excuse me, your protagonist girlfriend?
there were three different characters who did not relate to each other at all, who were all named like the same thing, and I was like, wow, Ivan, you are a bad writer.
That's why you write drafts.
That's why you have multiple drafts. It should always be like seven drafts.
Yes. Tyrion still had the poison mushrooms he had plucked from the grounds of Illyrio's manse. And there were days when he was sore tempted to slip them into Griff's supper. Mm. The trouble was, Griff scarce seemed to eat. Is Griff undead? No. We get to the end of this chapter. I thought that was a hint at the time.
I really like this line as being something that you could like embroider on like a sassy lady's like throw pillow.
You can buy a man with gold, but only blood and steel will keep him true.
It's the secret to all men's hearts.
It truly is. This is truly in the women are from Westeros, men are from old Volantis book.
Women are from Westeros. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
The fog concealed three quarters of the palace, so they come upon this old palace. But what they glimpsed was more than enough for Tyrion to know that this island fastness had been 10 times the size of the Red Keep once, and 100 times more beautiful. He knew where he was. The Palace of Love, he said softly. That was the Rhoynar name, said Haldan Halfmaester. But for 1,000 years, this has been the Palace of Sorrow. Oh, sorry, my info's out of date.
This is exactly the problem with Google Maps.
Yes.
Sometimes you're like, hey, is this ATM still functioning? And then you go to it, and it's turned into the ATM of Sorrow.
Yes, And it's like, you can see where the credit card thing was, that it's been removed and replaced with something that's sort of like half in the slot. And it's like, please stick your credit card here with just like a pen arrow stickied there.
Never going to put my credit card in there.
Stick it in. How much more of this fog must we endure? Another hour should see us clear of the sorrows, said Haldan Halfmaester. From there on should be a pleasure cruise. Spoiler, it will not be a pleasure cruise.
Through the long gray fingers of the fog, he heard again the deep shuddering thrum of a bowstring snapping taut, the grunt Lord Tywin made as the quarrel took him beneath the belly, the slap of cheeks on stone as he sat back down to die, the rush of poop coming out of his butt as he died, the smell of poop out of his butt as he died, the taste of poop out of his butt as he died. Not enough people make a big enough deal of the fact that everyone poops themselves when they die.
No, they really don't. They poop when you die. Women poop when you're born. Like, everybody poops.
Wait, women poop when they're giving birth?
I'm so happy that I get to be the one to tell you this. You made it past 30.
No one ever tells you this shit.
No, there's a lot of shit happening with being born and dying.
Every single movie that depicts a child being born conveniently skips out the part where the woman shits in the bed.
Yes. I mean, listen. I actually haven't gone far enough down that piece of knowledge to know what they're pooping into. I assume there's a bucket.
You would think that, wouldn't there be?
I would hope so.
God. Life truly is a miracle. You truly learn a new thing every day. This is just like when I found out that women pee and have sexual relations out of 2 different holes.
Was that also this year?
That was like 5 years ago.
No.
That was like 5 years ago where I finally wait a second.
How Catholic are you?
So Catholic. And listen, I had a sexual education course. They just kept shaming me during it.
Yeah, no, the sexual education course is like you approach a woman and then
you get married and then you have a baby. God gives you a baby. There was so long where I thought you get married and then God gives you a baby, right?
No. There's a lot of poop knowledge that you only learn when you're much older than you should be.
Life truly is the most disgusting of all possible things.
Ah, God, could you imagine only learning that through experience? That'd be the worst situation.
Oh my God, your wife is giving birth and suddenly you're like,
oh, gross!
No!
How embarrassed you must be in front of all these doctors. They've never seen anything like this.
Hey, are you doctors going to need to catalog this? Do you need to take any pictures or video of this once-in-a-lifetime event?
This is the worst conversation we've ever had.
Are you going to say that the time that I claim to be the male spokesperson for Diva Cups is not the worst conversation we've
no,
had?
No, you're right. I'm taking it back. That's the
ladies,
worst.
If you haven't used a Diva Cup, please, it is an amazing invention.
Why would anybody
men
listen?
Try to prevent you from buying a Diva Cup because tampons play into the economic patriarchy?
You're a male man.
Ladies, you get
why
that
would
Diva
you have
cup?
Any enthusiasm?
You have to empty it
doesn't make any
once
sense.
Every so often.
Why do you know
I'm still
that?
Not sure on the
why do you
scheduling
know this many details
of it because
this?
I still don't know how the many, whole scheduling part of periods
did
work.
Did you learn this at like a Costco free sample booth?
Obviously.
The Bridge of Dream, Griff named it. There will be stone men on the span. Some may start to wail at our approach, but they are not like to molest us.
Listen, don't pull aggro on the stone men.
Don't do it. Don't do it at all. So there's a bunch of text as they get closer and closer to the bridge, mm-hmm. but eventually they get closer. You're a dwarf, young Griff said scornfully. My secret is revealed, Tyrion said. I'm less than half a Haldan, and no one gives a mummer's fart whether I live or die. Least of all me. You, though, you are everything. And this is where we get some reveals happening. Why am I everything? Why? Said Tyrion. If the stone men had taken Yandri, or Griff, or our lovely L'Amour, we would have grieved them and gone on. Lose you, and this whole enterprise is undone. Some say this whole grand conspiracy, and all those years of feverish plotting by the cheesemonger and the eunuch will have been for naught. Isn't that so? He knows who I am.
So he figured it out. This kid is a Targaryen.
Right.
He is one of the two babies who were supplied by Tywin Lannister as the, hey, look, we killed these fucking babies for you.
Well, so, yeah. So specifically, he is the Prince Rhaegar's son, mm-hmm. who was supposedly split in half by the Mountain.
Yes.
And is, I believe, the entire reason that the Viper wanted to kill the Mountain was the fact that he was dead. Elias or Ella, I forget her name.
Fucking his sister's nephew.
Yeah, so it was his nephew. So this is Daenerys' nephew.
Mm-hmm. And I would presume...
And the rightful heir to the throne in the Targaryen line.
This feels like a plot point that's very important.
It seems like you shouldn't want to skip it. So given that it is a very important plot point, either they have drastically rewritten this, or, and I'm just putting this out there, he's dead before the end of this book.
Those are the only two options, really.
Yeah.
Because we've got, what, two seasons left of this show?
That's a good point. They announced, I think we have something, I think we have 13 to 15 episodes left.
Mm-hmm.
It's two seasons.
It's a little late to start introducing characters like this one.
I agree.
Yeah.
Though... I mean, who would we bring into play?
I mean, because we also have Gendry floating around, literally floating around in the TV show.
Right.
He is still on that fucking boat.
Right.
We find out that this guy is the Targaryen, so I would presume that there is also the female Targaryen daughter floating around, unless that was the one child they actually decided to kill.
I guess I don't remember that part well enough. I'll have to double check on how many children were murdered.
I feel like it was two babies.
Sure.
I feel like it was two babies. But yeah, this is a big conspiracy, so I would have to presume that the big conspiracy goes towards restoring the Targaryens to the rightful place as the monarchs of Westeros. Mm-hmm. I guess that's the whole conspiracy then, because otherwise I don't see any point for them to have interacted with so many Targaryens.
We'll see. I mean, maybe part of the conspiracy is that... the Varys doesn't think this guy's going to be a good ruler, and he just drowns him.
Varys is like, do you want to take a bath?
Yes. Boop. Or perhaps, I mean, we're literally among the stone men. Mm-hmm. Maybe Tyrion does not get the stone disease, but it's actually Griff or... What's his name? What's his real name? Rhaegar's son.
Rhaegar's. I think we could just say Rhaegar's son until we actually come to the explanation, which is, you have noble features for a dead boy. I am not dead. Lannister, your father is blah, 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 blah. Men will tell you I'm a Kingslayer. All that is true. Jesus Christ.
I don't know.
Prince Rhaegar's infant son, then Prince Rhaegar's dear friend, John Connington. Oh, Connington, who is also one of the knights in the joust.
Yes.
In the other chapter. He really should have just wrote this as one fucking stupid long book.
Listen, is 3,000 pages too long? I don't think so.
I guess they don't say his actual name?
Right. The rightful king. Why does all of this seem... so? And then weirdly, they're in a river that has a loop in it?
Yeah, this is one of those parts that's like... The hardest part of writing a book is physically visualizing a lot of parts of this. And this really feels like it didn't work out that well.
No, that they ended up in sort of a water park's endless river situation.
Oh, are they swimming in pee too?
Yes.
Yo, the endless river is the most pee filled of any water park's pee.
I mean, if I had anything to do with it.
Me too, friend.
No, thought Tyrion. That is not possible. The Bridge of Dreams, said Tyrion. Inconceivable, said Helen, half maester. We've left the bridge behind. Rivers only run one way. Not in this world, friend. A stone man crashed down into the boat. He had no choice to come straight at Griff. The captain slid aside, his blade flashing. A spark flew where the steel bit into the stone man's calcified gray flesh. That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. It was a nice fight scene.
But his arm tumbled to the deck all the same. How many jumped? Two, said Tyrion, shivering. Three!
Oh, shit!
Look behind you.
That's classic. Always a classic.
Classic.
That's always a classic.
The dwarf turned, and there he stood. The leap had shattered one of his legs, and a jagged piece of pale bone jutted out through the rotted cloth of his breeches and the gray meat beneath. Okay, that's terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give him that. The broken bone was speckled with brown blood, but he lurched forward still, reaching for young Griff. Yeah, we're still calling him young Griff. And that's pretty nasty, yo.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and well, if everybody wanted some good representation of non-white people, you finally got it in this fucking zombie.
Right, they're gray.
He's a Summer Islander.
Oh, he's a Summer Islander.
He's a Summer Islander, but his skin was black as midnight where it was not gray. All right, I guess I'll take black zombies as representation. Thanks, George.
Yeah, I don't know if I am. I feel like he could do better.
I mean, he really could. Where's Salador San?
I don't know. He's out there. Stand aside, someone shouted far away, and another voice said, "The prince, protect the boy." The stone man staggered forward, his hands outstretched and grasping. Tyrion drove a shoulder into them. The sudden cold hit Tyrion like a hammer. As he sank, he felt a stone hand fumbling at his face. Another closed around his arm, dragging him down into darkness. There are worse ways to die than drowning, and if truth be told, he had perished long ago, back in King's Landing. It was only his revenant who remained, the small, vengeful ghost who throttled Shae and put a crossbow bolt through the great Lord Tywin's bowels. No man would mourn the thing he'd become. I'll haunt the Seven Kingdoms, he thought, sinking deeper. They would not love me living, so let them dread me dead. When he opened his mouth to curse them all, black water filled his lungs, and the dark closed in around him. And Tyrion died, and he's done with the story.
And that's the end of the book.
Right, and that was the end of the story. I didn't expect it. I mean, it's halfway through the book, but the rest is, in my book, is just blank pages.
It's just Tyrion's corpse progressively getting moldier and moldier under the riverbed.
Yes, that's all that's happening. It's just the description of decomposition. They go through it, and, you know, they go through all the stages. It's a real scientific learning exercise.
It truly is the circle of life.
And so, guys, we're back for the book club.
You're welcome. I don't know if I said it on this episode specifically, but now that we're doing book club again, you motherfuckers owe me some goddamn money for doing this shit.
Which, if you could support us, maybe if you're the type of person who made or hearted or retweeted somebody who created the Where is the Book Club Twitter account, go to patreon.com/boarsgoreswords.
I only do things for money, not love. I have no love to my heart. All I care about is money.
Yeah, it's weird. You guys don't know this, but he actually walks around the city just wearing a G-string with dollar bills shoved in it.
And I'm just eating money the entire time. I'm like, ooh, somebody dropped a dime.
And I want to bring this up because somebody asked what you should be watching for Rick and Morty. Just watch Rick and Morty.
Just watch Rick and Morty. It's a good fucking show. And listen, I don't think that we should do what you should be watching because it's a comedy, and every comedy we do ends up being like, that was a funny joke.
Excellent joke.
Good joke. Good joke.
Excellent joke.
Yeah. So just watch Rick and Morty. It's fucking worth it. Listen, I mean, he doesn't like unions, and that's a problem. And no Adult Swim show employs that many women, and that's also a problem. But it's a good show.
It's a great show.
It's a good show.
It's a great show.
So yeah, welcome back to Book Club. We're doing it, guys.
And if you're looking for more of us, guess what? We've got a politics podcast called Bunker Politics. Mm-hmm. Look that up. You can subscribe to that. And if you're looking for more TV shows, we're coming to the end of the first season of Pilot Fight with me and Katie mm-hmm. Kirsten. So go look that up, and enjoy all those episodes as well. Yeah, I think we're up to probably 14. We probably only got one more episode in the first season. We're down to the final four.
Who's winning?
So the final four TV shows for the fall 2016 mm-hmm. season up through the end of October, because some notable things came out after that, are Westworld,
mm-hmm.
Dirk Gently, which
is
gets
it actually
really
good.
So here's the thing.
Because listen,
here's the thing.
You know me, I fucking hate a Max Landis.
Here's the thing. There's the first episode I watched, and I was like, eh. You have to watch the first three episodes, and it gets crazy good.
Mm.
Like, it goes from first episode, I was like, there's some things I liked, but there were some tonally weird things. Second episode, I was like, I really enjoyed that. I don't know what to think of myself. But the third episode, I'm like, this is one of my favorite shows on television.
All right, that's fair.
And I hate to tell you this. So there is a character that he creates out of whole cloth. That's one of the best things about the show. So basically, there is Dirk Gently, who is the holistic detective, and there's sort of
You've read the books, of course.
Yes.
Yeah.
And there's a mirror character to that. Who is her name is Bart, and she's the holistic assassin.
Ooh.
She is fucking great. And she's traveling with a guy who she is keeping alive for reasons she does not know. But it is magical.
Mm-hmm.
Just magical. And so, again, I've only watched 3 episodes because I'm waiting for the next episode to watch the 4th episode of it. But it's so good. And I don't know if it'll go through. And so it's, Dirk Gently, The Good Place, Westworld, and I feel like I said it already. What was it? I don't know. Maybe we're Atlanta, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's Atlanta.
Those are all good shows.
They're all very good shows.
It's peak television.
It's peak television. Watch all 4 of those shows, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see.
By the way, finished the first season of The Wire. Such a good fucking show.
By the way,
Red told me, watch out for that 4th episode, because, man, that's when it really starts getting started. And the entire time I was watching it, I was like, what could possibly happen that Red really loved the 4th episode? It's the introduction of the titular Wire.
Yes!
It's his favorite character!
I love The Wire.
It's a great character. Every time that Wire is like, here's some numbers, it's great.
Yeah. And then there's Lester and his doll furniture. Come on.
It's so great. Lester Freeman is my fucking favorite. And he's the one who ends up in a relationship with that stripper?
Indeed. That goddamn hero.
He's the best.
And listen, a young Michael B. Jordan?
It took me so long to be like, I know this kid from somewhere. Where do I know this kid? Because I was also like, I don't want to be racist and be like, all black actors look the same. But that one freaked me the fuck out. Because it's baby Michael B. Jordan. He is like 16 years old.
Yeah, so young.
He's so young. And of course,
that arc, that first season arc with him, especially when he figured out who he was, I was like, oh no.
It's distracting how handsome Idris Elba is.
Oh, of course.
I can't even focus. I'm like, why is he a drug dealer? He could just be a male model.
Also, he has a better American accent than I do.
He really does have a better American accent than both of us.
All right, I think this episode's been over for 10 minutes.
All right, then. Listen, I love that liquor truck.
You can find us on Twitter at Boars Gore Swords. You can find us on Facebook. Just search for Boars Gore Swords. You can find us on Patreon, patreon.com/BoarsGoreSwords. Give us that money. You can find Ivan on Twitter at Ivan_Hernandez.
You can find Red on Twitter at Red_Scott.
Bye.
See ya.